The Bulletin.
Okay, Patrick's text 8833. Hi, Louis. Enjoyed listening to you. Very kind, Patrick. Go watch Dodgers Giants game at Dodger Stadium. Wrong side of the country. But I tell you what, Patty, I am going to be at Yankee Stadium for a Tampa Bay Rays Yankees game in about 3 weeks' time. So very excited about that. Joining me in studio now, this is a special treat for my last day. Gordon Finlay has made the effort to come on through. Gordon, nice to see you. How are you?
Yeah, great, mate. I thought, you know, you are usually over the phone with you, but hey, look, given it's your last day, it's going to be the last time we get to see you before you bugger off to Europe. It would be rude not to come in. I'm just, I probably should have bought a cake or some sort of leaving gift.
Four Australas, $5 each?
Well, $5 each, $20 at the Canterbury Rams game last night. How good. That's value for money. How much more likely would you be to go and watch live sport anywhere around the country if you could get a beer for $5?
Yeah, not $11 for a can of Boundary Road. People get it.
People do get it. Yeah. It's a real struggle, isn't it? Like, it's a hard thing to fathom because people go, how is this more expensive than the pub?
Well, do you know what? You're the perfect person because you're a bit of a social guy to talk to about this. Have you seen that NPC is probably not going to be televised for much longer?
Yes, maybe one game a week they're talking.
And do you know what I suspect the powers that be will be kind of trying to convince themselves? That people are won't be on TV, so they'll go to the games. Do you know what people are not going to do?
Pay $11 for a beer.
And go to the games. Like, there's too much wrong with our fan experience is almost so far gone. It's so far, like, just kind of festered to a pretty... Apart from the NBL, and there are these small pockets of things which are very much worth going to.
And where those pockets lie. Like, for example, the Canterbury Rams, they play at Cal Stadium. Anyone in Christchurch, you know, out on the east side, and especially in the middle of winter, it's hard to keep the place warm. But you take your coat in there. And the advantage that they have, right, is that the team themselves are able to run the food and drink operation because they're not operating in a venue that is owned by, like, we've got, like, venues Otatahi here in Christchurch because...
And so they have margins they need to meet.
Exactly. Like, it's got to be a profitable model for them. So it's essentially a middleman, right?
Yeah.
So if you're at Apollo Project Stadium and you're going, man, why am I paying $12 for this
crusty burger?
Yeah. By the time you feed the kids, because people go, you know, take a kid to footy and, the tickets... You know, you can justify them, but when you get there, it's like, oh man, the kids are hungry. I'm hungry. I want to have a beer. They want a Sprite and a Coke. And, you know, all of a sudden there's over $100 down the gurgler. And that's the problem. So it's not actually the Crusaders. They're not the ones saying, you know, we want you to pay $12 for a beer. It's the middleman. It's the operators that operate said venues. So
the new stadium down here, Takaha, the NPC teams are going to try and where they're going to try and get to is they're pretty much going to try and run all of the NPC games out of smaller venues.
Mm-hmm.
Are Canterbury going to play at Takaha? When 2026 rolls around, will they be able to justify putting Canterbury in Takaha?
Why couldn't they just play it at Rugby Park?
Broadcast capability is the answer at the moment. But the reality is, it's not going to be broadcast, which is a shocking thing for people to get their head around, that our NPC won't be broadcast.
Surely there would be a way to do it on a smaller budget, you know.
Like high school rugby, two cameras, press cup.
Yeah, and look, it might be, because that's the way a lot of things have been going, especially like minority sports in recent years, as things will be live streamed somewhere on the internet. It would be a sad day for the provincial game, but maybe it does go down that route, and it's... because I know one of the big expenses for Sky covering those games is the amount of cameras that they need to cover it. But, you know, it won't be as good of a viewing experience. But even if it is just for the people that can't be there, it's not in their hometown, just, you know, two or three camera job streaming somewhere.
Mm.
But the upshot being maybe you can have the game somewhere like Rugby Park or all around the country at a venue that doesn't have this middleman we're talking about, where you can go up to the local coffee lady that's pulled up in a, you know, coffee van, and it's $4 or $5 for a good coffee. The kids can get Mr. Whippy. And ideally, the team or the provincial union can run the food and bar themselves, make a wee profit for themselves, but not put people off. Incentivize people to come because they know it's going to be a great experience and I'm not going to, you know, have someone shove their hand into my pocket, rip my wallet out and go, I'll have that, 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 and that, thanks.
Well, we see enough of that via the tab.co.nz with your pocket.
But we do that, you know, we do that at our own will, don't we?
We are complicit. That is consensual, I think. No, it definitely is. It definitely is. Tell you what, the other aspect of all of this and fan engagement is, and I always maintain this, if the product is good enough, we will pay. But it's really hard in New Zealand, especially with rugby, to have a product that is good enough because we only get a minute amount of the very best of Test rugby. Mm. Same with Test cricket. You were at SailGP over the weekend. There is a product as a sporting spectacle which is so good that they will get people to Littleton to pay whatever because it is genuinely the world's best racing outside of the America's Cup. And guys like Pete Burling, who are serious people, he's a serious man with serious opinions about things. He's not a kind of a wacky kind of guy. He says that was some of the best sailing I've ever experienced. He wasn't lying. You were speaking to him. You saw it in his eyes. He's for real. He's saying that is as good as it gets. So people will pay. Now, SailGP's got a bit of other stuff to work through.
Yep.
What was your impression of it? What was your impression of Sir Russell Coutts' red statement and the kind of furore that went on around the whole weekend?
Yeah, it was two very contrasting days. One day that I'd say is arguably, possibly the worst day in SailGP history. And the other day, which was, and look, Peter Burling is not the only one. I talked to multiple athletes that were on the boats. I talked to SailGP staff who travel all around the world that aren't out there on the water themselves. And they all said the same thing. That is the greatest day we have ever had in SailGP history. But a lot of people will go, well, if you're only going to get one out of the 2 days, how can you go forward with it? And I can understand Russell Coutts' frustration because I think the thing that hasn't been properly got across to people is that SailGP had ideas. They came to the party with, this is how we want to put these measures in place. Because we were talking to punters and they're going, well, why can't they do something to lure the Dolphins off the course? Well, they could have, but there were certain parties out there that have a lot of say in what can happen on Littleton Harbour, and they said, no, you can't do that. We don't want you doing that. Which to me, just, it doesn't make any sense, right? Because no one in their right mind wants a marine mammal, a Hector's dolphin, to be hurt, for there to be any chance of that. So why wouldn't you go to any measure you can to prevent that from happening, but also maximise the chances of racing actually being able to take place? And we all saw on Sunday, what an amazing atmosphere. Like here's the biggest one for you, right? In terms of, you're talking about people going out there on the bus. People in New Zealand hate public transport.
Oh, I despise it.
But yet, you put a big sailing event on in Littleton and all of a sudden, all of Christchurch is more than happy to go into the central city, jump on a bus out to Littleton.
One step further, they're raving about it. They're like, how efficient was that? You should have seen it. We just went straight there.
You do realise you can get a metro card and get to work and back every day like that and, you know, save the environment.
Brain, mind exploding. Now, your point on Russell Coutts, it's actually a really good one. And you're right, that hadn't been portrayed, because I think the tone and the way he kind of came across, either people straight away went, yeah, right on, or, oh, geez, a bit salty there. Mm. The nuance here is that, as you've explained, there were proposals put forward for the best of both worlds.
Yes, correct.
And if we're putting roadblocks in for the sake of roadblocks, well, then at the point, that's the point where you lose the people in the room and you say, well, now you're just being obstructive.
Yep. Now the one challenge in terms of going forward for next year is that the current gap for SailGP to stop in New Zealand is in February. Now, I understand that that's when Hector's dolphin is in calving season. So that adds an extra challenge. So
have you learned a wee bit about the marine mammal the last few days?
Well, I don't think anyone involved with SailGP, if they're having kids in the next few months, are going to be calling their son Hector, that's for sure. But that's going to be a challenge for next year. But I think, like, for those measures they wanted to put in place, I think it just needs to be able to happen. The other thing I want to get across, Louis, which I thought of before coming in here, is I've seen a lot of comments from people saying, oh, well, this happens in sailing all the time. Like, you know, we've seen America's Cup where there's no wind or there's too much wind and they can't race. And, you know, no one, you know, Russell Cooch
Look,
isn't complaining
does,
then.
Sailing does do red tape pretty well.
Yeah. But the one thing, and this is one of the biggest selling points of SailGP, right, is that they can race in basically any condition. So a wee puff of wind where previous America's Cup campaigns you'd go, there's no racing today. SailGP has three different wings. They've got a wing to put on the boats for extremely high wind. They've got the very versatile wing, which is the one they were using over the weekend. And then they have a bigger 30-meter wing, which I actually saw in action when they were racing in Dubai. And you'd walk out, you'd be like, there is not a puff of wind. How are these guys racing today? Yet these massive 30-meter wings they chuck on the boats, they still manage to get up foiling. Yes, they come off the foils every now and again when there's literally not a single breath. But
you can argue that it turns it into a different sort of sporting spectacle.
Any condition, you could go anywhere in New Zealand, and with the configurations of those wings, there is absolutely no way. There is 365 days of the year I would bank wherever they were in New Zealand with those three different wings being able to race every single day.
I'd be curious to see what happens. Just watching replay of Orchestral. Sorry, that's what's distracted me. Gee, she's a good filly.
Wasn't she actually talking about racehorses?
Yes.
Justin Ace at Riverton this weekend, Saturday and the Monday.
That was a quick spell.
Louis, I knew. Yeah, I thought he would have been spelled longer after that last run, but I know you love to tip him out as the best place bet in the country.
Well, he might have some work to do to...
Yeah, well, what's your hit rate on that?
Oh,
you finally had one time it didn't come in.
Backed him probably five of his last seven starts. He's paid me back.
Exactly. So like, if he's let you down once...
What race are we talking?
Stick with it. He's not the Crusaders. He hasn't gone 0-5 on you.
Jesus. Someone's called for. What race is he in?
Great question. I think go to race three, maybe.
65-1200, top weight, gets the apprentice back on, he gets on with him. Look,
$2.40 to place.
You know what?
You'd be on that, wouldn't you?
$2 top four. Just run it through your multis. He's got a
and
wide
a,
gate.
And a field of, yeah, but he likes to get back at the start.
Yeah,
field of 14, yeah. Look, top four, I don't mind that.
Okay.
Look, on his day, he beats any of those.
Yeah, on his day, which well, he has
on
had in,
on
he
any
has
horse's
had
day, right?
Three of. he's had three of them. Gordon, last one I'll leave you with. We've got a couple of minutes. And honestly, on my last day, I can just do what I want. I can almost say what I want.
Actually, I was going to ask, did Smithy ring in sick purposely so you got the reins for your final day?
No, he didn't. He's unfortunately off to a funeral, but he was disappointed about it. We had a good catch up yesterday, so that was cool. Yesterday, he said something, though.
Yes.
We're talking Auckland and how they need a test venue desperately.
Mm-hmm.
And how they've all of a sudden kind of, they're not, while they're stuck in limbo with their stadia, they are just falling down the ranks as a sporting kind of spectacle, city to be a sporting fandom. And then Smithy went, jeepers, it's kind of dawning on me. Yeah, they had a bit of kerfuffle with SailGP, but they had SailGP.
Yep.
They got Te Kaha coming in 2026.
Yes.
And Hagley, pound for pound, is as good as a test venue we have in New Zealand. I think it's the best. Lots of people will agree, some people will disagree. Is Christchurch kind of set up to be the sporting hub of New Zealand over the next, you know, decade and a half?
Yep. And there's three things that need to happen for that to come to full fruition. We need to find a way to keep SailGP here, because mm-hmm. that is in serious threat of leaving Christchurch, if not New Zealand. Secondly, Hagley needs to stay as at least getting the premier or one of the premier tests a year.
I think after the Aussie test, they will. I think I've seen that.
And this is the biggest component. We need a South Island Rugby League team here in 2026. How good would that be?
It'd be epic. And do you know what? I'll go on further. I think before 2030, we will have one, if not two, new franchises. We'll have either a NRL team or an A-League team. There's a chance we'd have both by 2030.
Yep. Maybe even a second team in the Aussie basketball leg.
Just give us all of it. Why not all? All of the above. Gordon Finlay, News Hub. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Luke.
All right, back soon.